B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We're going to start in Thailand. Residents are hiding behind barricaded indoors as rival monkey gang fights.
Oh.
Create no-go zones for humans.
Well, they're stealing a lot of monkeys. I know there's this movie on Netflix.
It's called Monkey Heist.
Monkey Heist.
Mm-hmm. The ancient Thai city has been overrun by a growing population of monkeys, supercharged on junk food.
Oh, my God.
As locals try to placate the macaques with snacks.
Our demands are simple. We want snacks. Lots of snacks.
The monkeys usually...
I, in particular, would appreciate trail mix, as I like sweet and savory.
The monkeys usually enjoy a steady supply of bananas from tourists who have dwindled amid the pandemic. Pointing out to the overhead netting covering her terrace, a resident said, "We live in a cage, but the monkeys live outside. Their excitement...
Not so funny anymore, is it?"
She said, "There's excitement everywhere. The smell is unbearable, especially when it rains."
Excrement.
The fearless primate's antics were largely tolerated as a major lure for the tourist hordes who descended on the city before the coronavirus outbreak to feed and take pictures of selfies with the animals. So a government sterilization campaign is now being waged against the creatures after an epidemic provoked an unexpected change in their behavior.
So they're sterilizing the monkeys?
Yes, they're trying to do that. So, but listen, as foreign tourism, which is Thailand's cash cow, seized up, so did the flow of free bananas tossed their way, prodding the macaques to turn to violence.
That makes sense. Footage, if they could train these monkeys to roll coins, Preston, we could solve two problems.
Footage of hundreds of them brawling over food in the streets went viral on social media in March, and their growing numbers, doubling in 3 years to 6,000, have made an uneasy coexistence with their human peers almost intolerable. An abandoned cinema is the macaques' headquarters. Steve, they have a headquarters.
Oh, my God.
Nearby, a shop owner displays a stuffed tiger and crocodile toys to try and scare off the monkeys.
Tonight we're showing Planet of the Apes as an instructional. I hope you all attend. My name is Caesar.
Who regularly snatch spray paint cans from his store, by the way.
I guess
they're huffing. I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, wow. Preston, Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it's turning
We're right
into
that. There.
Mm-hmm. Officials have told people not to panic after a city less than 60 miles from Chernobyl was covered in a giant mushroom-shaped cloud.
Why would you panic?
Concerns were raised over the huge cloud was spotted in the capital, Kiev. Some locals speculate that Russian President Vladimir Putin may have been testing nuclear weapons, while others feared it could be a UFO. Dramatic images show the startling cloud and blue skies over Kiev. And the Ukrainian State Emergency Service later shared photos with the caption, "Admit it, who got scared?" According to the officials, there was no reason to panic, as the unusual cloud is a rare phenomenon known as an anvil cloud, so there was no reason for any worries.
It's quite funny, yes. You see the video on the Russia's funniest home videos.
They added, "We have had these types of clouds before above Kiev, Oblast, Ternopil, and Oblast and Vinnytsia." An anvil cloud, by the way, also called a cumulonimbus incus, is a cumulonimbus cloud which has reached a stratospheric stability and has formed the characteristic flat anvil top shape.
I've seen them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and they do look mushroom cloudish.
And they don't move. They typically do not move,
right,
no matter how strong the wind is, and later slowly disappear. It often signifies an oncoming thunderstorm, but it happened over there and kind of freaked them out a little bit.
One day, Preston, we should... When everything's passed and you can do a little bit more traveling freely, we need to do our show from Pripyat.
Let's go. A man whose driver's license was suspended for the next 56 years is again charged with driving with a suspended license.
Oh, my God.
Police say they stopped Robert Albro Jr. in February. His license expired in 1997, and he has 8 suspension convictions. His driver's license is suspended until 2076.
And yet you hear these suspensions, the revocation of license, it doesn't matter for some people.
Yep. So last week he was waived a preliminary hearing on the latest charges. Police are investigating after an Amazon delivery driver was caught on camera throwing packages down into a sewer in Maryland. Officers were called Sunday after a neighbor called 911 to say an Amazon driver was dropping packages into the sewer.
In his defense, they were addressed to Pennywise.
When they arrived, they found the driver and the truck. And the driver, who was a temporary worker, told police he wanted to leave and started dumping the packages.
Oh, my God.
Police interviewed him and no arrests were made. And in a statement Monday evening, Amazon said it was aware of the incident and the case is under investigation.
Remember that story you had about the mailman who just kept the mail at home?
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't just it bags happens. And bags of mail?
Happens every now and then, yeah. A British man arrested in a Brussels airport with cocaine inside an artificial penis could face up to 3 years in prison for the offense. The man was busted trying to smuggle the drugs from Jamaica into Belgium. He allegedly told investigators that he intended to use the cocaine for personal use once he returned home. Prosecutors did not provide the man who said he got the drugs, or they didn't prove that they did not prove the man who said he got the drugs visiting his home in the Caribbean country was a mule, but still asked for a 36-month sentence. Now, what I don't understand is whether it was, you know, a penis attached to his groin or not.
Over. I want to know what the configuration was, what the apparatus looked like.
Yeah, or if it was just a, you know, a sex toy.
But, right.
Defense attorneys argued such a sentence is too severe since the man is in poor health.
Well, they caught him freebasing his penis, and that was the tip-off.
He's set to be sentenced next Wednesday. One last story. In Smithtown, New Jersey, they recently enlisted the help of a professional tree climber to rescue a cat that was stranded for 3 days on a high branch of a tall tree. The cat named Tiger went missing from his home in the Nesconset area last week and was spotted by a neighbor up in the tree more than 50 feet off the ground. When officials realized the cat wouldn't be able to come down on its own, they tried to use a bucket lift, and that didn't work. They were unable to get high enough, so the fire department couldn't even get up there using their ladders. But a man named Omar, who works as a tree climber for Impressive Properties, ended up wearing a helmet and harness, climbed the tree, and brought Tiger back down to safety.
I bet he got sliced to ribbons.
The cat got a checkup from the animal control and then was reunited with his family. But that's 50 feet up in a tree, man, that's pretty tricky.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
6 stolen baby goats are safe with their family after 3 teenagers who stole them brought them back home. The teens involved in the baby goat theft have agreed to do chores around the farm as punishment. The six goats, Fluffy, Lady, Peanut, Nibbles, Pepsi, and Taco.
And John Fillerman.
Were reported stolen from Mooville Creamery in Nashville on Monday.
This must be, I saw footage and the sound was down and they had these beautiful little baby goats. This must be what the story was.
Yeah, this is a very cute. I actually was going to get to this in the Bizarre File yesterday, but they hadn't found who did it.
Yeah, okay.
It was an
inside job, so to speak, then, right?
Not really. Later in the day, Monday, the goats were returned home safe. Lindsay Westendorp cares for the goats and the other animals at the petting zoo. And Westendorp said that 3 teenagers brought the baby goats back after she and other family members worked with police and other concerned citizens scouring social media for clues, leading them to find photos of their goat posted by someone else. The parents of the boys recognized what happened when they saw the photo. The group coordinated with police to bring the goats back to the farm.
Okay, so it wasn't an inside job.
No, but now they're going to work at the farm as punishment.
That's good.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll learn. If you're not careful, you might learn something.
Westendorp said that there are plenty of unpleasant things to do around the farm that they can do.
You know what? Maybe they'll find out that they kind of like it. Maybe they'll learn a trade.
You never know.
Maybe they'll kill the goats.
If you think you're an adrenaline junkie, you got nothing on this guy. Gordon Precious of Ontario was 94 years and 306 days old when he took a CMH heli skiing summer adventures trip to the Caribou Mountains in British Columbia.
So he jumped out of a helicopter and skied?
This is when they drop you out of a helicopter. Jeez. He and his guide were lifted by helicopter to the top of Nectar Ski Run.
This is going to be great.
And made their way down the mountain.
I can't move! Everything below my neck is dead. Why did I do this?
So, Precious.
And that was actually just when they were taking off.
Precious has
he tripped over a carpet.
Has now taken the Guinness World Record for oldest heli skier.
I'm very excited to be above the mountain and skiing. It's a dream come true. All right. I literally just sharted my spinal cord.
So he beat out a 91-year-old. So here's the deal. I don't think he jumps out of the plane.
They pushed him out.
Or out of the helicopter. They land, but they're in ungroomed, you know, virgin territory up on the mountain and ski down.
Right.
But still, that's a feat for a 94-year-old.
That is pretty amazing. Yeah.
It's incredible, yeah. People are getting creative when it comes to staying safe from COVID-19, and it has prompted at least one Michigan library to issue a public warning during COVID-19.
COVID-19!
Stop microwaving books.
Wait, why?
A burn...
to kill germs and stuff.
Yeah, a burned book was returned to the Kent District Library after being damaged in a microwave. They said don't...
You should wash them in the shower.
Don't microwave anything from the library. The books have metal in the security radio frequency identification tags,
yeah,
which are located inside of the book. And when the metal entered the microwave, a hole was burned into the cover. The library wants its users to know that all materials are in quarantine for 72 hours, by the way, due to the plastic protection on items. So there is no need to take any further sterilization steps. They are using U.S. Centers for Disease Control guidelines to ensure safety for using library materials. You don't have to microwave your books.
Yeah, there's been a lot of needless microwaving of things.
Yes. An Omaha man was arrested early Saturday after police said he doused a downtown bar with pepper spray after being turned away, sending the patrons inside into the streets. Ryan Shufti was booked for disorderly conduct and two counts of assault. The incident occurred at T. Henry's Friday night. Security at the bar shared the video of a man and woman being turned away at the door because the bar was at 50% capacity. Employees said the man appeared to be okay with being turned away, but then seconds later, he turned around and sprayed what appeared to be pepper spray into the bar. According to a staff member, Jacob Pachunka, he said, "I turned around and all of a sudden my eyes and throat were burning and I was coughing and everyone around me was coughing. It was slowly spreading through the bar and to the patrons and whatnot. So my first reaction was to get to the bar and make an announcement and get everybody out of the building."
Well, now they had room to let them in.
Employees said that they were able to contact the surrounding bars where a man matching the description of the man caught on surveillance video was found and later arrested.
There's a lot of people with access to pepper spray.
Well, you can just buy it, yeah. A youngster inadvertently earned his parents a citation when he told a Michigan DNR officer that there were no life jackets.
Right. I'm from Michigan, and we have not enough life jackets.
Excuse me, sir?
I said I'm from Michigan, and we don't have enough life jackets.
I'm sorry, what?
Are you with someone? A caregiver, perhaps?
I said I'm from Michigan, and we don't have enough life jackets.
Give him some food.
I think he's hungry.
Some water. Definitely some electrolytes.
He's hallucinating.
Sit down, sir. You might be having a heat stroke.
It's all part of the monkey heist, Kathy. I'm having a day. There were no life jackets on their fishing boats. The unlucky encounter occurred over Memorial Day weekend when Josh Boudreau, a conservation officer, was patrolling the Dead River Basin when he saw a child excitedly reeling a small walleye. After congratulating the kid on his catch and explaining what a conservation officer was, the kid excitedly exclaimed, "Mommy and Daddy don't have life jackets."
Oh, thanks, you little sweetheart.
Boudreau
And they have drugs, too. Boudreau and they're swingers.
Laughed off the comment, assuming the child was referring to the fact that the adults were not wearing them, unlike the kids. However, upon further inspection of the safety equipment, it was found that neither parent had a personal flotation device for themselves. And a citation was issued for failing to maintain and carry safe equipment on their vessel. They didn't have any life jackets.
In Michigan.
In Michigan. Some people are wondering if I had a stroke in the middle of it.
Like the Ryan Seacrest audio.
All right, that's what I have in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.